healing from post-traumatic stress, an EcoHealth information module originally written to the members of the Rabbi Gershom E-Group, written July the 30th, 2001, by Z. Charnot. To introduce myself somewhat, I am a biophysicist. I began my life as an architect. I worked for Gifford Sobey in the design of the synagogue in Santa Clara, California. After 5.5 years in architectural practice, I learned that what people wanted in architecture more than anything else was familiarity and low cost. This had no interest to me, so I went back to school and studied math and physics. My initial studies were in material physics. I progressed into instrument physics, studying observation and measurement. From there, I progressed into biophysics. I worked for 2 medical schools. I contributed to the design of the psychophysics laboratory at one university. I've worked in the Man Orbiting Laboratory program. I attempted to learn as much as possible about supporting life in space until I realized how little we knew about supporting life on Earth. Hence, that describes somewhat my viewpoint. Memory is state-specific, so in order to remember, one must re-establish the state within which the memory was formed. Trauma occurs when the event intensity exceeds the processing capacity of real time. Processing capacity is defined by our ability to relate the components of an experience to one another and to the environment within which the event occurs and belief structure one holds. Trauma is thus the source of obsessive and compulsive resubmissions of elements of the trauma for processing. The subconscious is simply directing life experience in terms of the unprocessed events. This is why we are compelled to write to one another on this message board. This explains why we are compelled to see films like Schindler's List or The Nightmare Years with William Shearer, why one would go to the bookstore and search for books about the Holocaust, or about the relationship between Hitler and the Pope. There are things I always use in determining that to which I give my direction of my attention. 1. Sense. 2. Relevance. 3. Truth. Some things are true. They're just not relevant. Some things make sense. They're just not relevant. Some things seem relevant, but they're not true. So we must employ a ratio of sense, relevance, and truth. On this message board, the question comes up again and again whether the subject matter is relevant or not relevant. In some sense, everything is related to everything else, by some means, howsoever remote. So the real question is not whether they are related or not, but how directly or how immediately is the subject related, and in what context is the subject related. There is a discussion of the phenomenology for déjà vu, etc., before we enter this life, or before we enter a particular lifespan, there is a scripting of our lives in terms of the insufficiencies, continuities, and obstructions we have to process. A lifetime is a special exploration, configured by a particular set of insufficiencies, discontinuities, and obstructions we need to face. The famous astronomer Fred Hoyle makes the statement in Frontiers of Astronomy that the everyday events of our lives would not be the same were it not for the most remote parts of the universe. With the advent of the Hubble telescope, the remote parts of the universe are of the order of 10 to the power of 14 light-years away. So the connection of relatedness is by means of a circuit or network. The physicist Hermann Weyl said that there is no such a thing as one and the same increment of energy out of which a charge is constituted at any two adjacent increments of time. That means there is a constant influx of energy into every charge and out of every charge. The question is, what is the pattern which determines which charge is connected to which charge? By what flux of energy? According to what pattern or what rules? In one sense, everything in the physical universe is nothing but charges and charge fractions in motion, in other words, having kinetic energy. Motion relates. Motion is responsive for forces at a distance. In the probing of the whole neocortex, Wilder Penfield was never able to stimulate a thought. All he could yield were memories. That is one of the reasons he concluded that the mind and the brain were different. But this is very much in the same way that the current, which is the motion of charge in a coil, is different than the magnetic field that corresponds to it. I need to comment about healing, about making whole, and I mean to bring to bear the issues that I've scanned during the early hours of this day on the message board. Atonement can be seen to be at one ment, in making or making whole. So what we need to see is that it is not a matter of rewards and punishments, so much as it is a matter of consequences for us to attain at one ment. From my prior communication on this message board, you will see that free will is generated by a delay in consequences. If there were no delay in consequences, we would have no free will. But we have been deliberately situated in a set of dimensions, the space-time continuum, where dimensions are sequence providers that grant a delay in consequences, which yields free will. The purpose of the free will is for us to learn how to choose. Many of us wait, trying to gather more and more information, trying to gain some kind or degree of certainty, diminishing or eliminating the need for a choice to the greatest extent possible. However, we never have, and never can have, complete determinism, as though we were separate from the forces that play out in our lives. We are submerged in the reality. Quantum mechanics shows us that there is a limited degree to which we can know the location of a charge, or the momentum of a charge. The hypothesis has been that this uncertainty about what Heisenberg has informed us provides a residue that we ascribe to randomness, to chance, or to accidents, when that increment is really a residue available for choice. There are simply choices that combine well and choices that combine poorly and yield consequences. We reap what we sow. Some of us sow wild oats, and hope for a crop failure. The question has been posed, is there a limit to the duration of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD? The limit is when the processing by means of encountered choices, such as the choices we make about what we think, what we imagine, that to which we give our attention, that from which we withhold our attention, is composed in a synthesis that grants us understanding and values that dismisses the trauma. Therefore, you carry PTSD from lifetime to lifetime until you can process it. Indecision is toxic. Please proceed to part 2.